37th.
In accordance with the provisions of the New Jersey Open Public Meetings Act, Chapter 231, Laws of 1975, adequate notice of this meeting was provided through the annual public notice on January 9, 2014. Facts in the three newspapers designated by the board, the Hunterdon Democrat, the Hunterdon Review, and the Express Times. Posting on the district website, the main bulletin board, and the administrative office, and in each Clinton Township school. Faxing to the clerk of Clinton Township. Mr. Jeskowitz, may we please have a roll call?
Mrs. Grant?
Here.
Mrs. McLaughlin? Ms. Hand?
Here.
Mr. Malloy? Ms. McHugh?
Here.
Mr. McKinnon?
Present.
Mr. Pituto?
Here.
Mr. Sturgis?
Here.
Mrs. Bertarami?
Here.
Thank you. Mr. Sturgis, would you please lead us in the pledge of allegiance?
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the monthly meeting of the Clinton Township Board of Education. Today is Monday, November 17th, 2014. We have a very full agenda once again this evening. Before we begin with the general portion of our meeting, I just have a few announcements. To the board members, once again, in front of you, I've placed a task list. Everything that we've achieved with administration and the Board of Education is marked in blue. Those items or tasks that we are currently still working on are in orange. And it looks like we only have a few more tasks to complete before the end of the year. If you have any questions on what's on that list, or if you need to add something to that list, please let me know. This Wednesday night, November 19th, at 7:00 p.m. in the CTMS cafeteria, we will begin the review of our district strategic plan. About 4 years ago, members of our community, staff, and Board of Education completed a district strategic plan. There have been many changes in education since that strategic plan was developed, and we began to implement it district-wide. So this year, the Board of Education, along with Dr. Clark, decided that we should reevaluate the current plan. With the help and participation of our staff, parents, members of our community, and with the full Board of Education, we will evaluate our current plan and decide what portions, if any, of this plan still apply under the current state of education today. We will also determine what portions, if any, of that plan do not apply. And we will develop any new goals or goal to the plan that we feel should now be addressed as a result of the changes and challenges in education today. We contacted the New Jersey School Boards Association to help guide us through this process. Ms. Gwen Thornton will help us complete this project. The work to reevaluate our strategic plan will take place over the course of 3 working sessions. The first session will be held, as I mentioned earlier, this Wednesday night, November 19th, at 7:00 p.m. in the CTMS cafeteria. Second session will be held December 2nd, same time and same place. The third session will be held on January 12th, once again, same time and same place. I'd like to welcome all of you and anyone in our community that would like to participate. Please attend the meeting on Wednesday night. If you should have any questions, please do not hesitate to contact the board office. Thank you. Now, moving on to the report of our superintendents of schools, Dr. Clark, Dr. Clark, please.
Yes. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for being here tonight. As I always say, it's always good to see your smiling faces in the hall. The enrollment report, our numbers read 1468, holding steady this year, but certainly a decline from previous years. We have no suspension reports for this time period. We do have an HIV report that's occurred. run the school, determined not to be HIV, two investigations at Patrick McGarren, none determined to be HIV, one investigation at Rand Valley School, determined not to be HIV, and two investigations at CTMS, none determined to be HIV. I am also required by law, by the HIV law, and violence against some reporting, to give a report tonight from the reporting period of January 1st, 2014, to June 30th, 2014. So I want to share some information with you about that reporting time period. The district total for the number of investigations initiated during that time from January to June, which is our second reporting period, were 39 HIV investigations. 39, all 39 of them were completed within the 10-day time period that is required. There were 9 at the middle school, 3 at Patrick McGarren, 21 at Round Valley, and 6 at Spruce Rock. There were 5 HIV incidents that were affirmed in that reporting period. 2 at the middle school, none at Patrick McGarren, 3 at Round Valley, and none at Spruce Rock. I am also required to give you a violence and vandalism report and information for the same time period. We have 5 incidents of violence that took place throughout the buildings, 0 incidents of vandalism, 0 weapons, 0 substance abuse, 5 affirmed HIV cases. We have, there were 0 incidents involving cost to the district. There were 3 notifications to the police department in this process, but no complaints on those 3 were made, and there were 0 complaints filed. We had 2 in-school suspensions, 5 out-of-school suspensions, and no expulsions or unilateral removals. We did have some suspensions, a suspension of privileges in that time period. The offenders and victims, we had 1 student offender, 11 student offenders, 5 student victims. There was 1 member of our school personnel who was a victim, and 0 victims of violent criminal offense. What was the program provided upon disciplinary action? It was varied depending on the incident. There were specific assignments given to the educational program and instruction for support services. There were 5 of those actions taken. There were 3 incidents that required either home instruction or a specific home assignment. And there were 0 out-of-district programs involved in any of these cases. That is the basic report for this time period from January to June 30th of 2014. And I'll be updating you with various reports as we go through each time period. I would like to introduce Bobby Philippe, our Director of Curriculum, and Tim Jaw, our Supervisor of Instruction, and testing and data assessment. Bobby, would you like to begin? And all of you should have a copy of the presentation in front of you.
This is a report on New Jersey Ask, an overview of our results from last spring's testing. So before I start, I just want to mention a couple of questions. It's really hard to compare the test year after year because over the years, the test has significantly changed. The bar was raised, the standards were changed. The test has been transitioning from New Jersey Ask to more park-like questions. Partnership for Readiness of Assessment for College and Careers. The scoring has changed over the year, the target has changed, and you have to be careful sometimes with large groups and small groups when we compare to our district factor I group, that group size can be a little bit misleading. But changes that happened last year from the 2013 to 2014, New Jersey Ask in the writing tasks, in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade in 2013, students had to do a persuasive writing. In 2014, those pieces of writing were changed to an argument. And if you look at the difference between the two, for the persuasive, you have to respond to an issue or situation and support it with reasons or examples, which could be closer to an editorial. You can use your own reasons and your own examples. With an argument, students were really required to present and defend a position in a well-reasoned argument and supported by grounding their responses in specific information and evidence from texts and or videos that they watched. Last year it was texts. This year with the park, it will be texts and videos. In reading, all of the types of questions stayed the same. There was still overall reading literature and informational text, but last year there was a much greater emphasis informational text than was the year before. In math, in grades 3 to 5, there were no changes in the basic components found in the New Jersey Ask. Those changes were made the year before. But in grades 6 to 8, there were significant changes. Last year, we had to implement the new Common Core standards in grades 6 to 8. And so the types of questions and the topics, some of the concepts and topics changed quite a bit from 2013 to 2014. Particularly ratios and proportional relationships were added in 6 and 7, and functions for grade 8 were added, and that is really a movement towards looking at algebra and working out the grades than just waiting for high school. So if we look first at the English Language Arts or the ELA, test, and compare our results to the district factor group I, which is a socioeconomic group that is one of the wealthier group categories, which Clinton Township is a part of. The district factor group had 92.9% proficient and above, and CTSD had 89.3% proficient and above. And that's really not a big change, and particularly when you compare that the district factor group has many, many more students, over 20,000 compared to our 234. It might take, you know, 3 or 4 students to make that change, where in the district factor group it would have taken a couple to a few hundred students to make that change. But we're right up here close to the district factor group. If you look at year-to-year comparisons of 8th grade each year, this would be from 2008 to 2014, the 8th grade students. So there are different students each year, but it's always the 8th grade class. The overall trend indicates consistent change in line with the test changes. In 2011, there were great changes in the test, and as I mentioned before about the questions, that's when the scores really dipped down. But then they started going up again, and so our trend indicates that we're doing pretty well there. Slight changes from year to year, but it still is moving up. And by 8th grade, if you look at the same students from 3rd through 8th grade, there is a drop in many cases, there is a drop in fourth grade, and third to fourth grade, and then it trends up. And I think this is really good results, because there is research that shows that the way students score in fourth grade is a good indicator of how they will score in eighth grade and also with the high school test. And if you look at fourth grade, we have 76.8% at proficient and above. And in eighth grade, we had 89.3%. That's quite a good growth of students who are really improving their scores, the numbers of students who are improving their scores over those grades. So I think that's good data. If you look at year-to-year comparisons, from 2013 to 2014, of fourth grade students, so it's the same grade, different students in both of those years because it's fourth grade in each case. We did much better with proficient, and advanced proficient dropped a little bit, but proficient and above did increase significantly, and partial proficient decreased, so that's a good sign also. If you look at the cohort comparison, this is the same students from grade to grade. So we're looking now at students who were in third grade in 2013 and moved to fourth grade in 2014. Advanced proficient and partial proficient both increased. So here, the advanced proficient went up, but so did the partial proficient a little bit. And the proficient decreased because both of the other two went up. So, you know, we need to look there to kind of look at the middle and try and pull the kids from partial proficient to proficient. In mathematics, looking at the same data that we just looked at for ELA, if you look at the district factor group comparison, we actually did a little bit better here than the district factor group. DFGI had 86.9% proficient and above, and CTSD had 87.6%. Again, it's not a big difference, but we're up there in the in the same area as the district factor group, and we're slightly higher in this case. If you're looking at eighth grade students from 2008 to 2014, advanced proficient is increasing and partially proficient is decreasing over the years, particularly if you look at it from 2009 and above. And 2008 to 2009 was a completely different test for the New Jersey ASK for eighth grade. In looking at students, the same students from third grade through eighth grade, we have a trend upward with a slight dip in seventh grade, and in math, that typically is where you might find a dip because it's a big change. Moving into seventh grade math and really getting into the pre-algebra and algebra concepts. So across the district factor group, you can see that also. But then if you look at our eighth grade, we have a very strong advanced proficient scoring in eighth grade, and our trend is up because proficient is going down from seventh to eighth, and advanced proficient is going up. And the reason why proficient is lower is because advanced proficient is so much stronger. If you look at eighth grade comparisons, so this would be eighth grade students in 2013 to eighth grade students in 2014, advanced proficient increased some, proficient increased some, and partial proficient decreased. So this is looking at, just eighth grade from year to year. If you then look at the same students who were in seventh grade in 2013 and eighth grade in 2014, advanced proficient increased, partial proficient and proficient decreased. And again, the decrease in proficient is because more students moved into the advanced proficient category. If you look at science we only take in fourth grade and eighth grade. And if you look at fourth grade for 2014, 96% of our students were proficient and advanced proficient combined. and in eighth grade, 93.6% proficient and advanced proficient combined. And actually, in both grades, there was an increase in proficient and advanced proficient overall from 2013 to 2014. It's hard to compare it to much more than that because there's a couple of years in between, so you can't do the same kind of comparison that you can with ELA and math. So one of the things that I was asked this year is how do we use the data? And we use it a little bit differently on the district level, the school level, and the classroom level. But you have to remember that the ASK data, because we don't get really good specific information from the New Jersey ASK, it's really a 50,000 foot view. And so it's the first line of looking at data, and then we need to drill down from there. So on the district level, we use it to analyze year to year, grade to grade, it helps us to determine the success of the programs that we have, to identify gaps in the curriculum or maybe the instruction, to identify professional development needs and then satisfy those needs, and to analyze overall trends. At school level, we analyze again teacher success prior year to current year and student success prior year to current year. It helps us to start identifying struggling students for support in IARS, or Intervention and Referral Services, to identify students for enrichment activities, to identify students placing into advanced math in grades 6 to 8, and actually the high school uses it for placement in English language arts and math, and they also use the ELA scores for placement into world language. How is it used at the classroom level? It helps teachers get to know students from an academic perspective early in the year, some of the first data that teachers have on their new students in September. It's used as one data source in establishing the state-required student growth objectives, which is part of the new evaluation system that the state is requiring teachers. It's used as one data source in planning instruction, differentiating or tiering activities, and it does help us to determine reading, writing, and math levels, and to help determine levels for a selection of resources that will be used in the different classrooms. So I'm going to turn it over to Tim for a minute to talk about getting ready for the park.
Good evening, everyone. So as we near the first official administration of the park test this spring, we wanted to share with you an update on our progress in preparing for it, and also share some of the things that we've done to be proactive as a district in preparing our students and the district for the park test. So the first thing we want to share that we've already done is last spring we participated, we were one of the schools that participated in the park field test, and we were able to do that in two grades, grades 3 and grade 7 in English language arts, which gave us a lot of really good hands-on experience with the park system, and we were able to gather some feedback from our students about it that helped us make some decisions for this year as well. We invested and increased the number of Chromebooks in the district. The technology class labs were all updated to Chrome-based devices this year. We were able to increase the number of Chromebooks in the classroom for student use and instruction, and we were also able to provide classroom cards for 7th grade science and 6th grade ELA. One of the things that is really a priority for us is investing in digital learning resources, and we renewed subscriptions to existing digital learning resources that we have in the district, for example, Study Lab. So the state has put out several tools to help school districts to prepare for the park test, and we completed the initial round of assessment for that, and we are at a ready stage in preparing for the park test. We are purchasing additional headphones, which the students will need to use during the administration of the test. We expanded technology classes in the primary grades, which was a direct result of the feedback that we received from students last spring. We're focusing on keyboarding skills. We've invested in a typing program called Typing Club that's being used across the district in computer classes and classrooms. And we are also providing practice in using the specific technology skills that the students will be asked to use in some of the technology enhanced questions on the part. So what do we still need to do? Well, first, first, we want to make sure that we have an accurate assessment of our technology assets and make sure that we know exactly how many devices are available to conduct testing in the spring. The next two kind of go together. We're going to continue to be proactive in using the resources that are available through the state and through PARC to make sure that our district technology is ready for the test. As some of you may know, Chromebooks update themselves pretty frequently. So we're going to make sure that we're keeping up to date with Chromebook updates and making sure that we're where we need to be with the compatibility for the PARC test system. Once the final PARC test system is released by Pearson, we'll need to prepare that system by uploading students and setting up test sessions for the testing. We're also looking at network upgrades at Brown Valley and CTMS to make our network more robust to handle the demands of multiple classes testing and many students testing at the same time during PARC. And we also want to make sure that we have enough headphones for students so that they'll have them and they'll be in working order for all the students to be using during tests. And perhaps the most important one on this is to make sure that we provide adequate and proactive training of the staff to administer the PARC test. So the PARC did put out some training materials last spring for the PARC field test, and we want to make sure that we provide accurate and effective training for all of the staff who will be administering the tests.
So what are some of the challenges of the testing data and reporting on the testing data? This year's changing test creates a comparison gap, a big gap for comparing from last year's test to this year's test. And the state is actually saying that they're not going to even put the PARC results and the PASS results on the same page in the New Jersey report card because they said that there's no way that you can compare the two. The two completely different tests. They cannot be compared. Finding ways is a challenge always to find how we can best implement the necessary changes and have everything ready on time. And just finding the time to fit it all in is a big challenge for us also. What is our direction? We're continuing to prepare administrators, teachers, and students to do the best that we can prepare them for on the test. We're continuing to monitor technology, the infrastructure, as the test requirements change, and they do change from the state from time to time. Continuing for budgeting for the resources, aligning classroom work to the test and to the structure and the rigor of the PARC assessment. We continue to monitor and address concerns everywhere that is indicated, and to communicate testing changes to parents as much as we can. And we have had a couple of parent universities to help us do that. What are the educational interventions that we need an increased focus on reading informational texts? We've done that within the district, and we continue to look for resources that will help us to strengthen that area for us. We have an increased focus on reading and writing across curricular areas and all subjects, not just ELA, and also writing. for all students and to help students remain challenged but yet supported in what they're learning. Are there any questions?
Yes. I noticed in the measures, and this is a measures question, in science there was no comparative data for the district factor group and say statewide at all. Also, there's no national data comparisons here. I believe this is a national measure. When will that type of data be available, one for science and for the other measures that we're looking at?
The national data, there is no national data for the New Jersey ASK, which last spring was the last year of the ASK, because that's a New Jersey test. Mm-hmm.
But what about PARC?
The PARC will be the national test. I believe they will start giving us some comparative data after the administration this spring. The problem will be out until sometime next fall. Growth data obviously won't be until the following year, because you need to establish baseline before you can show growth. The science doesn't compare in the same way because students only take it in fourth grade and eighth grade. You can't show that same growth from one year to the next as you can with English language arts and math. So that's why there isn't the same kind of district factor. But our students are very strong in science and in line with what other students in similar districts have.
Does anyone else have any questions for Bobby?
I have one for Tim. Tim? Tim, can you elaborate on what you're doing with the network upgrades in preparation for PARC? Okay.
So we've purchased additional licenses for access points in the district. We've had network analyses done by outside recommendations and analyze our usage across the district, and we've identified some problem areas in some of the buildings, and we're addressing those by installing additional access points to build more robustness, especially as we roll out the additional parts and devices in the classroom.
And by access points, are you referring to a wireless router?
It's not a router, it's just an access point that's part of our managed network.
Okay. And are the tests occurring in designated classrooms, or are they happening pretty much anywhere in any one of the schools?
Is your question about scheduling?
John, can you repeat your question, please, and speak a little
I'm sorry, so I'm asking, are the tests, the PARC tests, actually in designated classrooms, or are they for any classrooms?
We will designate where the PARC is going to be administered. So we have a variety of ways that you can have. We have a number of specialized accommodations where we have special education and classified students, certain accommodations that will have to be separated into different rooms based on those accommodations, plus different classrooms. We're awaiting schedules and we're mapping that out. Right now we're waiting to see some of the details so we can map out how many classrooms we're going to utilize and in what spots.
Thank you. The reason I'm asking is I wanted to determine
John,
whether...
can you move the microphone closer to you
sure.
So we can hear you? Because I can't hear you.
Sorry. The reason I was asking is I wanted to determine if there would be wireless routers in those classrooms to help alleviate any network congestion when the PARC test is actually being administered.
In some of them, there might be having specifically identified the exact rooms where testing will be taking place. It's going to really depend on where the students are and where we're going to have
right.
One of the things that we have done, though, is that we've listened to our teaching staff. A number of the teachers have run into problems, and this was predominantly last year, which is why we started to look at the access points, particularly in CTMS and some Round Valley spots. There are, I'm going to, for lack of the maybe the technical term, I'm going to say there were some dead zones, all right, where teachers had difficulty manipulating technology in their classrooms. And as soon as we heard that, we started to look at where they were in buildings, because we knew PARC was coming up, and that that would indicate that there were problems in those areas. And frankly, we couldn't afford to have dead zones in different parts of the buildings because we weren't sure how many classrooms, how we were going to need for park testing. So that's why we specifically looked at a lot of these access points because that's where we were troubleshooting. So the teachers gave us a very good indication of where those problems might be to start us off.
Great, thank you.
How prescriptive is the testing schematics from the state? Remember from New Jersey asked for some directions instead of a particular desk, it would be 7 centimeters from another desk. Is that the same for the park?
I don't think it's exactly the same in terms of desks and such, because the children are going to be using laptops and working in computer labs, so you're not going to have that same distance, and they're going to be utilizing headphones predominantly, so they're not really going to be talking or having any kinds of directions other than what they receive through the test itself. Do you know, Bobby, how much they've said about this?
I do know that there are specifics as far as the way either classrooms or computer labs need to be set up so that you can't have two rows of computers looking in the same direction, so the second row might be able to see the first row's computers. So there are restrictions in those kinds of things for the test.
I would assume, or is it safe to assume, that each testing unit can go at its own pace? In other words, question one is not delivered to every student at the same moment. Question two, et cetera, et cetera. They're going at their own pace. It's controlled more by the unit than it is by an overarching.
Correct, and they'll have a good span of time. And then students can go back into the stories and read. Students will be able to go back into the videos and rewatch on their own, and they'll be able to move at their own pace within that time allotment. And they established times after the field test last year so that the test developers are sure, or they feel sure, that students will have ample time. They gave them time that they believe it will take from the day that they got from the field test, and then added half the time period.
And assume we're able to make time accommodations for those that need it?
Yes, there are some students that will have them.
The other thing I'd like to add about that is one of the other reasons that it was so valuable that we did the field test here is because our students got some input into testing information that the state had. So they were able to give comments after the test to the state. They were directly able to fill out a survey and give some responses. And it was our students who were part of that whole field testing, which made the state look at the timing. So we have some direct input as a district to that information, which I think is helpful for us.
So in looking at these results, were the results compiled on November 17th, or were these tests taken on November 17th?
Well, the tests were taken last May.
So these are the results.
Different grades, we're taking them on different weeks. November 17th is today. So that's just the date of this report.
More
but
about
once the data start coming in August and September, that's when we started compiling the data and analyzing the data.
I meant to say 13th. But the reason I'm asking that question is important to note is that this is testing when it says 8th grade. These are for the children that graduated last year.
Dr. Clark, is it possible for us, maybe in the January timeframe, to get an update on the status of Park in the district and what you've been able to identify, what your next set of challenges are, just to keep the board up to date?
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Thank you.
Over the last couple of years, we've had reading instruction.
Any other questions from the board?
Yeah, one more. What is the test makeup capability? In other words, if I miss the May 15th or whatever date the test is, am I able to take the test at another time?
For last year?
No, this year.
For this year, there's two testing sessions. One is in March, the entire month of March, and the other one is the entire month of May. And we schedule children into taking the test, and we also schedule makeup sessions. So within that month, we have to make sure that all students in the district are tested, and if they are not in school on the day that they are initially designated to test, then they will participate in the makeup session. We have to make sure we fit all of that in that time frame. And the entire district will be taking it at the same time in that month.
Any other questions? Bobby and Tim, thank you very much.
Appreciate you.
Okay, moving on now, I'm looking for a motion for 15SU006 to 15SU007.
Motion.
Gina? Second for Gina, please. Any questions for Dr. Clark from the board, please? Seeing none, may we have a roll call vote, Mr. Jeskowitz?
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Ms. Hand? Ms. McHugh?
Yes.
Mr. Petuto?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis? Yes. Mrs. Rotaramo?
Yes.
Ms. McLaughlin?
Epstein.
And Ms. Grant?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. I'd like to open the floor to our first public comment section on agenda items only. To guarantee the fair and orderly expression of an individual, our bylaw 167 limits comments to 3 minutes. We'll adhere to this bylaw to allow for everyone to be heard in a fair, consistent, and equitable way. Also, the public comment section is only for comments made by the public. It is not an interactive session between the board and the public. This too is defined by our bylaw. The board will make note of any questions or comments that a member of the public will have. If the Board of Education has an immediate answer to that question or questions, they will be answered at the conclusion of the public comments section. To the extent that any other action is warranted, it will be addressed by the board president or the superintendent of schools as appropriate. No participant may speak more than once on the same topic until all others who wish to speak on that topic have been heard. If you would like to address the board, please approach the microphone, state your name and address. We will be limiting this public comment section to 20 minutes. Would anyone like to address the board this evening? Seeing none, I'd like to move on to first recognition of the public. We'll have the same structure as I just read for those that would be interested in addressing the board. We will be limiting this section of public comment to 20 minutes. If you'd like to address the board, please address the board, state your name and address.
Ruth Stee, 2 Circle Drive, Lebanon, New Jersey, Round Valley School. Round Valley teachers and staff started the year off with a high level of dedication to their students and profession. Before the official start of school, teachers came in to set up their classroom and begin lesson planning. Setting up a classroom, developing themes, bulletin boards, planning lessons for a new curriculum can be an overwhelming task. Once school began with students, we continued to hit the floor running. We had over 30 staff members attend the back to school pizza event. This was held on a Friday night on September 26. As you know, by Friday nights, most of us are exhausted. In October, over 20 teachers volunteered once again to help out with diversity night. Teachers made food, taught games, and assisted in the hallways. The Clinton Township Education Association was able to help the PTA attain its book fair goals. The association applied for an $800 grant to purchase books for Read Across America for all four libraries in our district. By working with the PTA, we were able to help all schools reach their goal for grants that provided even more books for our school district. November brings parent-teacher conferences. Teachers dedicate off-school hours to prepare conference forms to provide a high level of communication to our parents. More than 70% of our teachers provided additional conference time outside of our designated hours in order to accommodate our parents and their work schedules. These are just a few examples of how the Round Valley school staff continues to put teachers first. Thank you.
Thank you.
Lana Brennan, 21 Fawn Drive. Sort of on a related note, actually. I've learned about the teachers that are taking over, say, a maternity leave or a disability or something. They're essentially long-term subs to where there's no contract or anything, and I would like to see maybe the board look into doing something different for teachers that are essentially going, what I think, above and beyond what a substitute does in a year-long time period where, you know, you really want a teacher to be invested in your kids and having them to have availability of maybe a sick day or not be treated like a daily sub. I think that that's something that, since we've now switched to Source for Teachers and this is the first year it would be really coming up, then maybe we look into doing that. In addition, they also are unable to bring home their laptops if they are just a maternity sub replacement. And I think that, you know, in addition to asking them to go above and beyond in hours, you're now asking them to stay at school in order to complete some of these tasks. And, you know, I really appreciate all the teachers we've had, and my daughter happens to have a maternity replacement who is fabulous and is really just doing more than what I would have imagined could have been with knowing these new things about how they're paid the same way as daily subs, not a higher rate because they are committed. They're not even able to commit to the whole year. They could technically leave and get a more permanent job in the middle of the year. And I think that what we want is continuity for our students. We want teachers invested in them. And I think that I've seen a great deal of that and so many of them that I'd like to continue with, you know, the teachers that come in for the short term. I don't know how that works. And so I know I might be asking for a lot, but just maybe look into it or something. And also, I did not see the two student discipline code of conducts for the first reading on the website. So I just wanted to, I didn't know anything about that. So, oh, and also substitutes, and so this is not a great thing, but we have had, it's happened previous years, and this year, we just recently had a substitute bus driver where my daughter is telling me that she came home, it was a crazy ride, the driver was going in the wrong direction. My second and third graders are directing the person to where they need to go and turn, and I find that a tad bit disturbing. I know someone else who was on the bus had already had called transportation. She said something, her daughter told her about loud music occurring, and I don't mind some things, but you know, the fact that the driver had essentially no clue where they were going, this is not the first time that a bus has had that happen. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Robin Kiefer, 728 Apple Court, Flemington. I'm a teacher at CTMS. I just wanted to give the board a little update on all the positive things that are happening here at the middle school. We have 20 students who work at the TV studio every morning to produce our morning news. This fall, we've had over 120 students participate in our fall sports, and our boys cross country team is actually the conference champions for 2014, so we're very proud of them. For Veterans Day recently, our enrichment teacher got together with our student council and presented this fabulous hour-long assembly to our entire student body about the importance of Veterans Day and the men and women who serve in the military. Like Round Valley, we've just finished our November parent-teacher conferences. Our teachers went above and beyond and outside of school hours to communicate with our parents to make sure that they have the best information about how their students have done this first marking period. Our teachers are coming in early every morning before school hours to give extra help, help students catch up on work when they've been out. Last year, during STARS, they started a study hall program in between the 7th grade teachers, the 8th grade teachers, and the Unified Arts. That program's really expanded this year so that every day we have actually two rooms going that are full of students who are using that time wisely. So it's been a very great start to our year, and we just want to let you know a few things that were happening at CTMS. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Roberta Grambor, and I'm here as a teacher from Patrick McGarren, and I'd like to speak to you on behalf of our teachers and staff. Our members show their dedication on a daily basis in many ways. Some of the highlights of PMG staff pride include SWAT, the school-wide adventure team. These teachers meet before school hours and plan school-wide achievement activities, integrating cross-curricular. They wrote grants for assemblies related to folk tales and fairy tales. The staff performed a reader's theater assembly. Teachers collaborated to write a movie trailer and create excitement about this theme. They produced Cinder Hazel read aloud and showed it to all the classrooms. The math committee. This committee meets outside of school hours as well on a regular basis. They met during the summer and before school. They collaborated on creating a math binder, which includes math games, activities for differentiating, math facts, academic vocabulary, to better prepare our students for the Common Core and the park. The math enrichment and support teachers collaborated for hours collecting and analyzing data on every child in the school to identify those students who needed extra enrichment or extra support, and also to help teachers identify math skills that may need to be retaught. Conferences were held before and after school hours to accommodate for the loss of hours when we changed our calendar and lost the half day of election. These teachers were not able to meet with parents during the allotted time by the district, so they also accommodated parents who were not able to come during the time as well. Special area teachers participated in extra back-to-school nights so that they could greet parents at both grade levels. Teachers attended PTA functions such as the ice cream social and the pumpkin carving. Staff members have collaborated with the Girl Scouts after school, and he even tried to schedule Saturdays to come in and clean up our schoolyard and work on landscaping. Patrick McGarren teachers participate in Operation Jersey Cares, collecting money and food donations for our veterans, for our soldiers overseas. It's not uncommon to find Patrick McGarren teachers in school as early as 7 a.m. or staying as late as 6 p.m. so that they can complete the necessary activities that are not able to be completed during our 8:30 to 3:30 work day. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi there. I'm Faith Furman. I'm at 3 Cobblestone Lane in Annandale, and I've been here for 20 years. I'm also a staff member at Spruce Run School. I have good news from Spruce Run, and I can attest to that on a first-person basis. I see it every day. They're really great kids. It's just a small sampling because we want to be mindful of our 3 minutes. Study Buddies program. As you may already know, this is a wonderful literacy program. It was started a few years ago by one of our teachers, Julie Snee. She's one of our first grade teachers. Community members are paired with first grade buddies to read and write on a weekly basis, enhancing their literacy skills. And it's a wonderful relationship for them. At CTMS, 8th grade reading buddies, under the collaborative direction of CTMS and Spruce Run teachers, 8th graders come down or up to Spruce Run monthly to complete literacy activities with first grade buddies. This program is in its 5th year, and it is a highlight for both the first graders and the 8th graders. Parent University invitation. Reading at home. Spruce Run and PMG parents are invited to attend an informational session in the Spruce Run School Library on November 13th. It was hosted by teachers and administrative interns Rhonda Ferry and Kelly DeJoya. The focus of the evening is helping children read independently at home. On November 26th, first graders will present songs and poems, not to be missed. This is a collaborative effort between our music teacher and the first grade teaching team, and of course our students. Each class will be singing a song or reciting a poem. Laura Jaw, one of our first grade teachers, recently spent a weekend in Massachusetts receiving recertification for responsive classroom. All teachers at Spruce Run incorporate a daily morning meeting, which fosters a sense of community and belonging for each student. Students in Mrs. Partridge's and Mrs. Stanley's first grade class brought their favorite types of apples. I didn't know there were so many. They counted, sorted, and graphed their apples. Students made applesauce and culminated the activity by writing a small moment story about visiting an apple orchard to pick apples. That's just a sample of some of the things we're doing.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Would anyone else like to address the board?
Middle School cafeteria. The current date of the Board of Education's next meeting is scheduled for Monday, December 15, 2014 at 7:30 p.m. in the auditorium of the Clinton Township Middle School. Also, there is correspondence from the Hunterdon County Freeholders. They're urging schools to consolidate. And that ends my report.
Thank you, Mr. Jeskowitz. Looking for a motion, please, for 15-BA-011.
Second.
Any questions for Mr. Jeskowitz? Seeing none, may we have a roll call vote, please?
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Petuto?
Yes.
Ms. Hand?
Yes.
Ms. McHugh?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Mrs. Votorama?
Yes to all, but I'm going to abstain on the executive session on October 28th.
And Ms. Grant?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. We move on to reports of our committees. The board has four committees. The first committee report this evening is our Facilities and Finance Committee. Mr. Malloy is the chairman of this particular committee. Unfortunately, he has a work commitment this evening. He cannot make it. Mr. Jeskowitz will give the committee's report. Mr. Jeskowitz?
At the meeting, we spoke about our need for utilizing some monies that we have in our maintenance reserve, and we had a listing of things that will need to be addressed going forward, and the board is looking that list over, and we're going to be approving an amount to be taken out of our maintenance fund this evening. Next, we had our report. We spoke about a report of our inspection of the deficiencies of our playground equipment from our insurance companies, and we will be seeking options for the replacement and repair of that equipment, and hopefully have that in place and being done over the spring break. We also spoke about the sanitary sewer upgrades and the maintenance for both the Round Valley School and the Patrick McGarren School of some of the plant deficiencies that have been going on and are being rectified. We're also looking at maintenance agreements for our roofs, and we're putting together some information for next year's budget so we can include those numbers in there and we can maintain the four roofs on all those buildings. We also had a discussion of the theatrical needs here at the CTMS school. There needs to be some repairs and maintenance and upgrades forthcoming. Since this school's inception of 7 years ago, several things have not been looked at, and we're looking to put some things in place to maintain the maintenance and upgrade of this equipment. The other thing that we were looking at is strengthening our facility use application. We've taken some tips from our insurance provider and also through our attorney, and I am bringing back an updated version with highlights and additions to the board at our next meeting. Also on tap for this evening, we're approving our comprehensive maintenance plan and an M1, which are two forms that county office has asked us to fill out, and those forms were presented to our committee and gone over, so there was a thorough explanation so that we can approve them at tonight's meeting. Also, we are having a company order our utilities, and they've been finding some savings, and we are pursuing to obtain those monies for that. We receive 60% of those savings, and the company that is doing the work for us gets 40%. Right now, we're doing the vestibule work and door replacement at the Round Valley School. Those doors, the exterior doors, have been replaced at the Round Valley School. The vestibule work will be ongoing till the end of January, at which point, starting next week, the Spruce Run School will have the exterior doors replaced, and thereafterwards, the Patrick McGarren School will have the exterior doors replaced. Also, we've had some of our cameras that we've had in place at the school, and we've had some training going on with a few of our members, and this way they can turnkey those over to some of the other schools so they can learn how to utilize those cameras. The fire alarm system at the Round Valley School has progressed and is about a third of the way complete. Another thing that we've discussed was looking into an alert system for all of our schools. A presentation was sent to the committee members to view the system called CLASS, and we had a presentation that was done with myself and Dr. Clark about this, and it looks very interesting, and we're getting more details to pass them along to our committee at a future date. Also, in preparation for our CUSAC, we've done a checklist of our facilities and found some deficiencies, and what we're trying to do is look at the remedy the deficiencies that we found, and with the change in staff, including myself and some of our other maintenance people, we're trying to take a good tact at trying to identify all these deficiencies and going forward. Some of them include some broken water fountains, some lights, and some other different things that we will make sure by the time we are CUSAC, we will have those things completed. And that concludes my report.
Thank you, Mr. Jeskowitz. I'm now looking for a motion for 15FF071, 15FF-80.
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Any questions for Mr. Jeskowitz this evening?
Actually, I have a question maybe Dr. Clark could elaborate on. On action item FF072, there's an expenditure for a nonviolent crisis intervention workshop. Could you just give us some more information? That's a very large expenditure.
Yes, it's certainly an expensive workshop, and we are sending a staff member who is comfortable with this particular training and ready to turnkey it in the district. We need it for our special education program and classes. There are some students where this might be an option for the future, or a need, so to speak. So we're setting that up. The Director of Special Services has highly recommended that we set the program up and have some training done. And we've had some other training in the buildings, and we're taking this over to Round Valley.
So will this only be turnkeyed in Round Valley, or will this be an opportunity?
I think we're going to start in Round Valley. We may do some other training as well throughout the district. It's going to depend on where our need is.
Do Any other questions for Mr. Jeskowitz?
I've actually had all of them looked at this point, and they were all examined thoroughly. And what we'd like to do is, I know the Spruce Run School, their playground is running out of its usable life at this point. What I'd like to do is bring somebody in and take a look at what it's going to cost in order to get those pretty much up to date and be able to utilize them in a better fashion.
That would be our first one to look at.
Well, I'm going to have all three done. Like I said, I had an insurance company come in, told us what our deficiencies are. Now what I need to do is, since those deficiencies are all written down on paper, having a company come in to put those or get them up to snuff at this point is the next step in this process.
Can we look at those opportunities for food?
They are also.
I'm also happy to really add the subject
for the position that I didn't know of this situation, but I've kind of taken it under my wing to have a better understanding. I'm trying to get a better understanding of that, and I've been spending a great deal of time learning about both facilities because they run completely different from one another. Well, what has been told to me is that there's a smell, and once there's a smell, there's something wrong. So that is what we're doing to get done at this point, and we're taking a great many steps forward to bring both facilities up to par.
Any other questions? Okay, seeing none, may we have a roll call, please?
Ms. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. Pituto?
Yes.
Ms. Hand? Ms. McHugh? Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis? Mrs. Verderamo?
Yes.
And Ms. Grant?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Moving on to our second committee report of the evening, we can share that.
Yes, we have 12 items up for review. Action items PM15-096 through 15-107. These 12 items are pretty much standard operating procedures within the district. We have two disability maternity approvals, two lunch aides that we're bringing in, one replacement at RVS, the clerical support for the health office. We have one athletic advisor being approved. We have also two stipends for the ski club. We have three coordinators in there, 11 chaperones. On both of those stipends, those are actually paid not out of the school budget, but they're out of the the expenses or the fees in regards to participating in the ski club and ski club activities. We have two student teachers that will be participating with our classroom teachers and one student observer coming from our local colleges. And we also have on the agenda for approval is one substitute bus aide. So I'd like to make a motion to approve PN-096 through PN-107.
Mr. McTiernan, I believe there's 15 PN-108. Is that correct?
108? No.
No.
That was taken off the agenda.
Okay. Sorry about that. Okay. Looking for a second, please. Any questions for Mr. McTiernan this evening? Seeing none, may we have a roll call, please?
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mrs. Verderamo?
Yes.
Ms. Hand?
Yes.
Ms. McHugh?
Yes.
Mr. Pituto?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Ms. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Ms. Grant?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Moving on to our third committee report for this evening. Ms. McLaughlin is the chair of the Policy and Curriculum Committee. McLaughlin, can you give your committee's report?
Sure. Good evening, everyone. The Policy Curriculum Committee met on November 3rd for a very lengthy amount of time. We actually got a preview from Mrs. Philippe of the testing report, so some of us got to see it twice. It was better the second time. We also had an opportunity to review some policies, to have a little bit of a discussion about the kindergarten ad hoc committee, which I will be updating you in a few minutes on, and also to start to talk about some of the changes with the park assessment. The first thing I wanted to address on the agenda is action item 15PC019, which is the student discipline and code of conduct. Last month, our meeting, I tabled this discussion because our committee hadn't had an opportunity to look at the discipline rubric. To Mrs. Brennan's point earlier, and I don't want to jump on Mr. Petuto's shoes because he's going to talk a little bit about the website ad hoc committee, but the website is continuing to evolve, and as we are all aware, it needs some significant changes. And so the fact that that somehow didn't make it on, I apologize for that. It's something that we're working on, and I'm sure Mr. Petuto will address that when he does his report. In terms of the communication of the actual rubric itself, Dr. Clark has assured me that she will be sending out an e-blast to the entire school community. All of the principals are going to be discussing the rubrics with the students in the buildings as well as the staff. And so I apologize that that didn't get to your eyes yet, but it will be. We had some minor language changes in the second reading of several policies related to health in our building services, personnel, and records. There were also a couple of late edition field trips that we did not have an opportunity to discuss in our committee, so I was hoping Dr. Clark could elaborate a little bit on those two field trips regarding enrichment with Mrs. Seelop and Mr. G at Round Valley. Action item PC021.
Okay. This is, one of them is, well, they both have to do with the enrichment program. And we do pay for busing. In the past, I'm not sure if all of the enrichment programs went through the board, because it's paid for through a consortium where all of the enrichment teachers for the sending districts work together on programming for the students throughout the North Sendin districts. And so as we review this, we felt it was important to put it on the agenda because we do pay for busing in that process. And insurance-wise, we felt it was important that we go through this board agenda as opposed to a separate consortium program.
Thank you. With that being said, I'd like to move action items 15PC019 through 15PC021.
She moved it. Can you second it, Kevin? Second. Any questions for Ms. McLaughlin? Nope, seeing none. Please have a roll call vote, Mr. Justwood.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis? Ms. Hand?
Yes.
Ms. McHugh?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Petuto?
Yes.
Mrs. Votorama?
Yes.
Ms. Grant?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Moving on to our fourth committees or communications committee. Ms. Votorama, did you agree with this one?
Parker did not.
Thank you very much. I'd like to move on to report of Ms. McLaughlin. She is the chairperson of the ad hoc committee for kindergarten.
The kindergarten ad hoc committee was established close to a year ago. We, over the course of several months, have a wonderful group of teachers, board members, and community member who have gotten together and looked at the idea of whether full-day kindergarten is possible with attention. We had a slight delay in our committee meetings because the district was awaiting the demographic report. Recently, if you were not at our October meeting, we had Dr. Grip come and give a demographic study. And if you did not get an opportunity to come to the meeting, I welcome you to the website. The report is on our website, as well as there's audio of the meeting that could answer some of your lingering questions about the enrollment in Clinton Township in the future. We have reconvened our committee meeting. We met last week for a fairly good amount of time, and we've come up with a plan on how to finish our testing, our report, so that we can present it to the public. We are hoping that we will be presenting at the January 5th board meeting. That is the first meeting back after vacation. It is also the reorganization meeting, which tends to be a shorter meeting. We thought that would be a good opportunity to have this presentation. We're asking Dr. Clark to send out an e-blast to the district. We are going to also be putting it on the website, reaching out to community groups, possibly getting it, if we can move the deadline, to the Clinton Township newsletter, because we need to hear back from Julie Flynn on that. And we will have our report. So we welcome all of you to come back then and hear us, and I'm hoping that all of the committee members will be able to join us as well that night. We are also going to be meeting next week, and we have dates set up in December. So we are invigorated. Word is in this hour. Oh, coming or going right now.
Thank you. Moving on to the ad hoc committee for our district website, Mr. Petito is the chair for that. Mr. Petito, can you just give your committee's report, sir?
Sure, thank you. We had the inaugural meeting of our website committee last Thursday. We met at Round Valley School, and thanks to Dr. Clark, she was able to have Chromebooks available for all of the committee to actually use during the meeting. We had what I would say a very hearty conversation discussing all the pros and cons of the current district website, and we spent a lot of time on the website, and then we actually went out to other district websites trying to look at what other people in other districts were using. We started to really focus on two areas of our website. First was really the content. What's lacking from our website? What's not necessary anymore? And then secondarily, we looked at the navigation of the website. Is it easy to navigate? Is it easy to find the content that you're looking for? So we had a very good discussion. We started taking down notes. I asked all the committee members to continue to look at the website over the next month, take some notes, and basically when we reconvene for our second meeting, which tentatively will be the first week of December, we'll start to put together some real game plan of how we can make, you know, effective changes to the website, and then report to Dr. Clark on our suggestions. But all in all, a very good meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Moving on to the feasibility of closing the school ad hoc committee. As Ms. LeBlanc mentioned, last month we had a report of a demographic study by Dr. Grip. We felt that that was the beginning of what we needed one tool in the tool shed in order for us to examine whether it's feasible or not to actually close the school or whatever options that may exist to closing a school with our declining enrollment. I spoke with each of the members of the ad hoc committee, and based on availability, at this time of year, we're going to start working in that, or with that committee after the first of the year. We are trying to collect some data on how other districts in the country may have closed a school or assessed closing a school, or what other options may exist instead of closing a school. So we are trying to gather that information at this point. Moving on to the old business of our meeting. This portion of our meeting is for board members to ask questions about old business on school-related matters only. It is not a time to make personal statements. Rather, it is a time to review topics that have been previously discussed and bring up old topics relative to the business of the board. I'd like to move on to old business of the board. First, I'd like to ask Mr. Tiernan, who is our liaison to the Township Town Council, offer his report on the Town Council, and then secondarily report on the DIA as well.
The mayor and council met on Wednesday, November 12th, with all council members and many members of the audience, reminding Mr. Sumay, our mayor, that he is coming down to the end of his term, which ends this year. First thing that they did was sworn in a new police officer. Brian Dixon is a new officer that is joining Clinton Township PD.
and there'll be also another officer that will be sworn in on December 10th, is the next meeting, Wednesday, December 10th. That will round out the staffing for the police department for the known future. Old business that took place there is, again, a COA update. Joe Burgess, who is a principal of Burgess Associates, has been working with the town council and also with the planning board looking at COA housing. He did an excellent job of presenting a primer on affordable housing. And if anyone is curious about what goes into it and the impacts on Clinton Township, I'd highly recommend is listening to this primer, which can be done on the council meeting minutes, which will probably be available, I would say, early next month, if not sooner. But again, council continues to look at what they can do to meet our COA obligations. They're looking at a number of different sites. Joe Burgess and John Higgins, who was also a former member of the Board of Education, did go over some very interesting concepts that are going to be taking place at the old municipal building in the village. Looks like there'll be about 14 units that are there. Very nice design was presented. Again, one thing to note on that is that when it does come to COA, what they were emphasizing is regardless of what's discussed in the plans, the developer can make adjustments, which would be based on the reasonableness of any contracts that they might have going forward with those agreements. Any questions on this?
Any questions?
DF committee then? The DF committee was scheduled to meet this past month, and that meeting was postponed, I believe, due to additional information that will be coming out to be shared with the committee in the early part of December, and I forgot if it's the first or second. We're meeting on December 1st. All DF committee members were very disappointed in not meeting and going over a three-hour session on that. But we look forward, of course, to December 1st.
Thank you. Any board members in the business they would like to bring up? Seeing on.
Sure. I just wanted to comment on the foundation grants that are on the agenda. The foundation awarded a number of grants to our staff members and administrators, and there's some great grants there. I have some personal favorites. I must say the Ram Valley Be Responsible is, I love it, folks. And for those of you who do not get the humor, we did have a weed problem at Ram Valley this year. So it's a wonderful grant. And of course, Patrick McGarren helped with that with their ropes on the go. So we do have a bit of a team going here. And one of the things I think the board is particularly happy to see is the grant that was put in at the middle school and Rand Valley for assemblies. And some of these are some really strong speakers to talk about, talk to our students and to our parents. Very much along the lines of some of the trends and concerns that we've seen and talked about and set up as part of our district goals to have some more parent training opportunities. So we have some great speakers that we're lining up to do that. And that was part of the grant that was made by the middle school in Grand Valley. So, and I will say I also went to the foundation fundraising event on Saturday night. Mr. Malloy is also there representing the board, and Sue Vanderhoff, who is one of our newly elected board members, was also there. And it was a fun evening to be had, and I did give a little speech about the foundation and the wonderful things they do and the things that I've observed in our classrooms. I have to mention the Publishing Center. I've had such great fun at Patrick McGarren with our children and the Publishing Center. And Sue Pye also spoke to a number of different grants that the district has experienced and have really enriched our children's lives. I think the work calculating somewhere in the neighborhood of 159,000 that was donated in the last 4 years. And so I believe that the foundation has been in existence for about 11 years. And so 11, how many?
16.
16, I'm sorry. 16 years. So if you multiply that out, it's quite a bit of money that has been donated to the district and the students and teachers here. So I just want to say thank you to the work that they've done.
Thank you. I'd like to move on to new business of the board. Under this section, like the old business sections, it's not a time to make personal statements, rather than a time to discuss new topics relative to business of the board. Are there any new topics that the members or a member of the Board of Education would like to bring up? Ms. McLaughlin?
It was great to see all the teachers about tonight and share what's happening in the schools, so I wanted to thank them. And it made me think about events in schools, and typically, having children in multiple schools, I always hear about my own personal events, so I'm aware of those, and I'm always aware of the other events. And I was trying to reflect as a board member for the past several years. The only thing I can really recall being invited to was graduation. So it'd be really great if the teachers, if they're having an event, or if there's a large production like I heard Spruce Run was having songs and poems, it would be nice to get invited. I mean, I know that I often can't attend, but it would be nice if occasionally there would be an opportunity that I could make an event. So I don't know if that's something in the future that we can think about, making board members aware when there are special events going on in schools. That's it. Thank you.
Okay. Any other new business anyone would like to bring up? Anyone else?
I'd also just like to thank the teachers for coming out and listening to all the great things that are going on in all the schools. I also like to acknowledge the fact that, you know, you do work outside your contractual hours, and we should be very thankful for that. You are all hard workers and, you know, put your students first. So we thank you for your dedication, because really, as looking at those test scores, it's because of all of you that are sitting out there that those test scores are possible. So thank you.
Anyone else? Okay. I'd like to open the floor to our second recognition of the public. This section is for members of the public to express themselves on school matters of community interest. We'll follow the same outline as detailed in the first public comment section on agenda items only. If you'd like to address the floor, please approach the microphone, state your name and address, limiting this public comment section to 10 minutes. Anyone like to address the board? No. Seeing none, Mr. Jeskiewicz, would you please read the executive session statement?
Whereas while the Senator Byron M. Thayer, Open Public Meeting Act, NJSA 10:4-6, except, requires all meetings of the Clinton County Board of Education to be held in public, NJSA 10:4-12b, sets forth 9 types of matters that may lawfully be discussed in executive session without the public being permitted to attend. Whereas the Clinton County Board of Education has determined that the following issues are permitted by NJSA 10:4-12b to be discussed without public independence and shall be discussed during an executive session. Whereas any collective bargaining agreement or the terms and conditions of which are proposed for inclusion in any collective bargaining agreement, including the negotiation of the terms and conditions with employees or representatives of employees of the public body. The collective bargaining contract discussed is between the Clinton Township Board of Education and the Clinton Township Education Association. And whereas any pending or anticipated litigation or contract negotiation in which the public body is or may become a party, any matters falling within the attorney-client privilege to the extent that confidentiality is required in order for the attorney to exercise his ethical duties as a lawyer. The nature of the matter, described as specifically as possible without undermining the need for confidentiality, is anticipated litigation and matters protected by the attorney-client privilege and contract negotiations and matters protected by the attorney-client privilege. Whereas the length of the executive session is estimated to be 60 minutes, after which the meeting shall reconvene and proceed with business. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Clinton Township Board of Education will go into executive session for only the above stated reasons. Be it further resolved that the board hereby declares that its discussion of the aforementioned subject will be made public at such time as the reason for confidentiality no longer exists. Action may be taken upon.
You know who does not deserve.